relationship between God and humans. And we'll begin with the reading from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. So human relationship with God began to break down right early on in this story. Because if we remember the creation story, God created the world, he created us and all of it in it, and it was good. And then, of course, we had the story of the serpent and the story of the apple, and the relationship immediately began to break down. But we're made to be in a relationship with God. And God, of course, didn't abandon the human race at our first folly. But as we know from the stories that continued throughout the Bible, God was always there waiting for the humans, for all of us, to turn back to him. Because he created all of us, we are all children of God. And he has never stopped loving us, even if, like Eve, we sometimes go off track. So our relationship with God is really in our hands, as it was with Adam and Eve's, because it was what happened in the garden that spoiled the relationship. And it can happen too with ourselves and with God. And prayer is part of our relationship with God and with God's relationship to us, because prayer is, of course, conversation with God, however that conversation may be. And however you engage in that conversation is entirely between you and God. And all of us, of course, have different experiences. Some people are raised in the church and in relationship to God right from childhood. Many people here I know will have been to Sunday school when they were little, brought up in the church, and would have perhaps even had a prayer pattern in their early lives. Perhaps mothers and fathers taught them, pray before you go to bed, pray before your meals, pray on waking. That may have been part of all of your lives from early on. For other people, of course, it isn't. And they discover God later on. He's always there, of course, waiting. And their prayer life may be very, very different. And some people, of course, are still seeking God and only cry out and pray to him when they feel in need. And God, of course, will still be there waiting. His relationship with us never changes. Our relationship often does, depending on how we feel or how we react. And people encounter God in different ways. Some people find prayer with God quite easy. Some people pray all the time. As Paul said earlier, pray all the time. And some people find that quite simple. Other people find prayer really difficult. Some people can pray spontaneously. We have people here, if we called on them now to lead prayers, they'd be fine, they'd be confident, they'd be able to do that on our behalf. Other people find it really difficult. And even people who you think are really experienced in church positions, I know some who've said, never ask me to spontaneously lead prayer because they don't feel confident. But God's not looking for a perfect act when we pray. He's not looking for us to have a degree in theology to pray to him. He just wants us to open our hearts, open our minds, listen to him and pray to him. And it's a bit like when you lead the intercessions. I certainly don't know so much at this church, but certainly where I've been. If you ever ask people to join the team to write and deliver the intercessions, you don't get a queue of people putting the hand up to say, I'll do it. I think we probably, I've not asked, but we probably get more people queuing up to go on the refreshments list than we would on the prayers and intercessions list. I won't ask around here who'll put the name down because I can see everyone looking away all of a sudden.
What if you offered a chocolate biscuit and couldn't see to everyone doing intercessions?
Do you think they might join? Yeah. And people find it really a challenge to do that. But God's not expecting that. He's not expecting a command performance on a Sunday morning. You know, we're not here on a Sunday, stood on there to deliver, you know, get an Oscar. That's not really what God wants from us. He just wants us to be sincere, to actually join with him and to pray you know, in a real way, so that we not only talk, but we also listen. Because, you know, we're weak. We're like Adam and Eve. We're not strong. We have our faults. And we too might find it difficult to pray. Because like all relationships, they take working at. And it does take work to actually pray on a regular basis. And one of the questions we're going to have throw out later is, we might not expect you to answer, think about your own prayer life. Do you have a regular sort of time of prayer? Or do you pray all the time? Is it robust? And I remember when I was on the pathway of discernment, right at the very beginning, when I met someone, you have all these various interviews along the way, and I remember this woman saying to me, what's your prayer life like? So I sat there like, you know, dreaming up this great answer, and it's this and it's that. No, what's your prayer life really like? And at the end of the conversation, she said, you've really got to improve your prayer life. And I went away thinking, well, what do I do, you know? How do I do this? How do I improve my prayer life? Because it's a bit of a unique thing, your prayer life, because it's your relationship with God. So how other people judge it, I do not know. Fortunately, I'm not one of those people. I'm not on the examining board, or I never will be. Hopefully, I won't be asked to interview people for joining the priesthood. I'll decline on that one, I think. So like we are relationships, it does take working at. And sometimes it does break down, as Adam and Eve did. So prayer is relational. That's the beginning part of our thoughts for this evening. I will now pass on to Rodney.
Genesis chapter 18. So the angels have gone off. And when we start to think about it, there's more to come. That's not the end of the reading. You think about prayer is listening and speaking to God. And this is what Abraham was actually doing. He was listening to what the Lord said. And he was asking him questions and talking with him. So prayer is speaking with the Lord. It's a message. But Abraham had to listen to what God wanted. And it's in this discourse, he starts to realize that God is compassionate. But when you think about it, why did he stop at 10? You know, it's, you know, why not go down to 3? You know, eventually it was the 3 that survived. But he stops at 10. When we start to think of it, Lot is in Sodom, and it's Abraham's nephew. And he would have known Lot and Lot's wife. He would know the two daughters. He might not know their proposed husbands-to-be. And when you start to add up, we've got 6, and perhaps there's other members of the family or servants in the household. So perhaps he was looking, there are really 10 people I really want to be saved. But then also you think about, that's probably a reason he stopped at 10. But in this talk, it's not done as a form of haggling, but of out of compassion and love for his relatives that he wanted things to work out for them. So what is prayer? Listening and talking to God. Allowing God to speak to you. Be honest when you pray. Pray with compassion and love. Prayer changes ourselves, those we're praying for, and the situation. And prayer is a greater understanding that God is a God of love and compassion. So he had this conversation. So I'd imagine Abraham felt one way at the start, but he started to realize that God, what God would do and save, even for 10. But it was a shame that it didn't turn out that way. But 4 left. One turned to a pillar of salt, and 3 survived. But we know that it finishes off that the end, when he had finished speaking, that Abraham later does go and has a look to see what had happened. But that's prayer. Prayer changes things, changes us.
Our third reading is taken from Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 9. Very familiar reading, similar to the ones that we've had, perhaps the Abraham a bit more obscure, but certainly the first one, it just recognises our relationship with God has been broken. And then just as Rodney's been bearing out, that intercession that God is compassionate and kind. And he hears our prayers, and whether it's completely or not, it's God's prerogative that the prayers, however the prayers work out. Really, just a point I want to bring out on this, again, compared to the first point, when a relationship is broken, in terms of conversation, there needs to be some reconciliation or some basis for conversation. So we say sorry, we try and negotiate, work something out, and that relationship and that conversation can continue. And again, in the middle one, a conversation, very difficult situation. God, he's seeking to wipe the people out. Why? Because of their sin. Abraham intercedes, big part of lesson of in prayer about interceding. Lord, change your mind. Lord, this is what we're feeling. We're having the compassion. We're reaching out to God's love and compassion, and in many ways wanting to change his view or to provide for us or inspire and guide us and help us. But with this point with Isaiah, however our prayer life is, the beginning is where we recognize that we are forgiven. And so out of our being forgiven through Christ, we have a sense of thanksgiving. And in that sense of thanksgiving, our weight of guilt, our weight of self-doubt, our weight of insecurity, whatever we might carry, is freed, it's lifted. Because our faith is in the Lord. And so a big part of praying is saying thank you. And that is so important. So praying, we have a reference later on, I think, on that. But praying is essentially the thanksgiving in the context of our relationship with God through Christ, that we've been forgiven and that burden is lightened. But also from that, we're able to, ask God. He wants us to ask, but he wants us to intercede. He wants to just talk with us, to him. And many people, perhaps connecting with what Debbie said, will pray for the world, will pray for everyone else, but not for themselves. And some people are praying all for themselves and not for anyone else. So sometimes in prayer, we do get in the way, but prayer really reflects our relationship with God. Thanksgiving, but secondly, that sense of listening. And silence can speak louder than actions or words. And Mo, in Be Still With God, we've had other occasions here. There's different services that we can hold. So instead of the intercession, instead of all the words, the silence can speak to us. And God can speak, I think, often louder in the silence than the actual words. It's a combination. In Isaiah, we have the words. We have that sense that, lo, I am unworthy. Isaiah receives that sense of cleansing. And then from there, I want you to do something. And that's where, again, perhaps we often don't go to prayer because we're not sure about our relationship with God. And then if we go to prayer, the fear is the Lord might ask us to do something. And am I going to do it? So prayer is really fundamental. And a quote here, Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, if we really want to pray, we must first learn to listen. But in the silence of the heart, God speaks. So when we pray, we're never truly alone. We pray together as a worshiping community. The Lord's Prayer, intercessions, the Eucharist prayer, And even our own physicality, there's a sense that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And just to end, we had Carol that came a few months ago, amazing book, and a totally different approach. And her writings, it's like as though God's speaking to us. And interestingly enough, on the 23rd of March, 2 days ago, there's a reference which really, I think, picks up the thoughts that I've just shared and what Debbie and Rodney have shared as well. This is God speaking to us. I want to transform my thoughts into your thoughts. This will take much patience and practice from you. Come often into my presence. Close your eyes and just tell me you are ready. It will take time for our minds to become balanced, but the sincere heart will have immense rewards. Each of you will find a different technique. Learn to sharpen your senses until you become actively aware of my spirit. Sometimes we will just sit quietly together. But as we perfect this special time, my words may be many. Be prepared to write down what I say. At other times, just rest with me and allow me in. Draw comfort from just being with me. Our friendship will grow as we practice this closeness of prayer.
So in this time of Lent, we often think in Lent about giving something up. So our sort of thought is, give up more time to pray, or give up some time to think about your prayer life. So think about your own prayer life, not like one of my examining chaplains, but think about, do you have a regular pattern of prayer? Do you use different resources? There's loads of prayer books out there that you might call upon. Do you feel you can communicate with God? And do you feel that God is at the centre when you pray? These are just questions for you all to think of. And think about this time in Lent, just perhaps put 5 more minutes aside each day just to pray or think about your prayer life. You never know how transformational it may be. And particularly in this world today, the world's now opened up and everybody's getting busier, and you know, people are actually going out and shopping and going to the theatre and shows. And maybe, you know, you're thinking, oh, well, I haven't got time to pray. But just think, an extra 5 or 10 minutes every day might just make a huge difference, not just to your own life, but to the lives of all those people that we do pray for. And especially at this time, with people, there's thousands of people, as we know, who've got COVID. We know about the war in Ukraine. There's people who are worried about poverty and bills. So, you know, just think about your prayer life. And we've thought about relationship this time. Next week, we're thinking about situational prayer with some more readings and some more reflections. But just think about that and your own particular prayer life. What's it like? What could it be like? Can you actually give up some more time to pray? And Graham will now close in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, just thank you for that beautiful hymn, situational and relational hymn, whereby through all the comings and goings of life, whatever they may be, through clouds, sunshine, rain, stillness, storms, poverty, riches, being on our own, being in the midst of many, Lord, we just thank you that you do walk by our side. And Lord, help us to endeavour to walk closely by your side this day and forever. Lord, speak to us. Lord, you do. So often, Lord, in your speaking, we're not listening. Help us, Lord, to listen more clearly. And Lord, when you do speak to us as a church, as individuals, in the context of family, friends, our nation and worldwide, help us, Lord, not to be afraid of your voice. Help us, Lord, to respond in kindness, to go and be a good neighbour to our neighbours and be surprised that they have found Jesus. As we go into the hospital and we face operations and investigations, when we travel and our fears and our anxieties increase, thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. And in that trusting, Lord, we can know your presence. And in that presence, Lord, there is that wonderful sense of thanksgiving. We thank you for this beautiful day that we've enjoyed today. The sun has been out, the birds have been singing. There's that warmth, there's that sense of life, that gift of life that you give to each one of us. And as we have celebrated and mourned and we give thanks for Jackie's life in the service yesterday, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with her family, each and every one. Lord, in their sadness and in their loss, they will know your comfort, your kindness, and above all else, Lord, your presence. As prayed, Lord, we do pray for peace in Russia and Ukraine and in our world. For all the difficulties with the living costs and all the confusions politically and socially in our land, we pray for your peace. We pray in our churches, Lord, for each of the leaders, for all the issues that are coming to the churches. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, to listen to your voice, and to be bold. And Lord, in conclusion, we thank you for the life of St. John's here. We pray for each member who come, those who have been and don't join anymore, perhaps other places. We pray your goodness and blessing upon them. Lord, for the new friends that have joined us, we just thank you for them. And we pray, Lord, that they'll find this place, a place of peace and a place of your presence and comfort and your kindness. And during these Lent studies and our time up to Easter, for each of us, Lord, as we gather together, may we have that wonderful sense of knowing you in a new and a fresh way. Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord, who died on the cross, resurrected from the dead, and can live in our hearts and our minds each and every day. But Lord, we do ask that you'll forgive us of our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, just simply fill us by the power of your Spirit to sing your praise and to hear, walk beside you each and every day. So we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray.